B-Pod Studios.
And on the line with us now from the Philadelphia Inquirer, from The Athletic, old habits die hard. From The Athletic, Zach, I apologize. Athletic. Yeah, Zach Berman joining us right now. Zach, my apologies.
No worries. But yeah, I am at The Athletic now and thrilled to be on your show.
It's phenomenal coverage you guys have there at The Athletic, Zach. I've been a subscriber since day one of The Athletic. It's my number one go-to source really anymore. And I think all you guys do a phenomenal job there.
I appreciate that, and we have some good stuff coming this season.
Yeah, I bet.
Now, Zach, my main thing today is that I am a little frustrated, and it's not, I can't say this enough, it's not radio take, it's not to get callers. This preseason is frustrating me in that I don't think we're going to see Carson Wentz, I don't think we're going to see a lot of the starters, and I don't think having a fear of injury is a good way to go into a season. First of all, your breakdown on any starters do you think we're going to see in this preseason, and do you like the way they're handling things?
Yeah, it's a great question because I really think that's the big story of the summer. I did a story on it leading into the first preseason game because I got the sense it was trending in that direction, and it's something that's going on around the league now. The Los Angeles Rams made the Super Bowl last year without playing their offensive starters during the preseason. Jared Goff didn't take a throw in the preseason last year, and you know, I just kept hearing that's how teams were going to approach the preseason more and more. There's two factors here that Doug Peterson's really looking at. It's not just injuries, although that's obviously the big reason why you don't want any of your players in those live situations. It's more the amount of work that they're doing in practice with the first team guys. If you're at an Eagles practice, really the third teamers aren't on the field that much. It's really the first team guys and the second team guys. And these past 2 days especially, it's been like a game for the starters. And then the second thing is with the rise of joint practices, which the Eagles have next week against the Ravens, they feel like they can get a lot of competitive situations there, but still in a controlled environment where you don't have to risk either getting hit or showing your scheme. So I really think those are the two factors that have led to this Eagles decision.
Yeah, totally. I think, Zach, it's only a matter of time before the NFL eliminates the four preseason games and it gets down to two. Obviously, the owners will want 18 games. Out of that is the trade-off. But it does appear that the joint practices is kind of the new future of the preseason. Do you see that as a possibility, maybe even working in two or three teams in a preseason to supplement a reduced preseason schedule?
I do. I don't think we'll continue having four preseason games. Now, like you said, they're going to need to get that revenue somewhere.
Yep.
So whether it's adding an extra week to the regular season with the bye week or however it comes, I think they'll need to figure that part out. I will say this regarding the preseason, because I've spoken to a lot of players about it, and what they say is the starters don't need it, but you still need to get your roster down from 90 to 53, and for a lot of those guys on the back end of the roster, where the evaluation's coming is in the preseason. So the preseason's actually become real valuable for teams in evaluating their own guys and in evaluating other teams' players. What they don't want is they don't want to expose their starters to injury or to overuse. So I think that in its current form, teams are finding a lot of value in the preseason. Unfortunately, it's not very valuable to the fans who want to see Carson Wentz play.
Zach, a lot of the guys are going to be shut down, what we've been talking about this preseason, to prevent injury. But a couple other guys have been shut down because of injury. And I'm talking about Dallas Goedert with the calf and Lane Johnson with the knee. Level of concern fans should have for those two guys?
No level of concern for week one, from what I understand. You won't see them in the preseason, obviously, and they won't be practicing during these next few weeks. But my understanding is that the team's basically keeping bubble wrap on them until September 8th.
Yeah, Zach, can you kind of walk us through, I guess, I read 13 guys coming off of surgery this year. Can you just do a quick run through of Bradham, Cox, Brooks, Darby, Mills, yeah, like kind of where these guys are at and what you expect to see, if at all, this preseason?
Yeah, so the biggest concern in terms of a long-term injury right now, I'd say, is Jalen Mills. He's the only one on the PUP list, and the Eagles put him on the PUP list to preserve the possibility that they can do that at the beginning of the regular season. In terms of the other guys, Brandon Brooks, he's in there in individual portions in practice and group installation in practice, not yet cleared to do team drills. He's hoping for week one. It's not definite, but it'll be around there. The sense I get is Fletcher Cox is going to be back too. Ronald Darby and Roddy McLeod are both getting more work now. McLeod's in team drills. Darby was in 7-on-7s this week. Derek Barnett is back in team drills. The injury that the kind of the under the radar injury that I think there might be a little concern about is Nigel Bradham.
Yeah.
He's recovering from toe surgery that happened after the final postseason game. And just because they're thin at that position, they're already down Kamu Grugier-Hill. So I think that's one that you really need to monitor. He hasn't practiced yet. They've been very ambiguous about the timetable there. So I would say of the non-Jalen Mills injuries, that's the one that I'm kind of keeping my eye on as the one that could kind of be a sneaky lingering injury.
Zach, one of the competitions for this preseason that I was really looking forward to was that at defensive in the defensive backfield. Where has that played? I know you said Jalen Mills. We were talking about it the other day. His injury, and now with the way the other guys are playing, he may get Wally pipped. But who's yeah. stuck out to you, and how do you see that if you had to pick a starting three of the backfield, slot and two outsides, who would it be?
Yeah, it's an interesting point. I talked to Corey Unlin, the defensive backs coach, about this the other day, and they're kind of sticking to the answer that they don't have to make a decision yet, but at some point they're going to have to. I think Ronald Darby is going to be your starter whenever he's ready.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not convinced Jalen Mills is going to be your starter whenever he's ready.
No, he's getting Wally pipped, Zach.
So I'm looking at Sidney Jones there. Could be Rasul Douglas, but my guess is the two guys on the outside will be Darby and Jones, but you'll still find a role for Douglas. And then I would say Avante Maddox is your leader for the slot. Now, what they could do when they have Dime on the field is put Jones on the inside along with Maddox and put Douglas on the outside. And I think you're going to see this team play a lot of Dime this season, whether it's a heavy Dime or just a straight Dime. So my guess is that Jones is the starter, but Douglas still gets work. And I don't know where that leaves Jalen Mills yet. I think the way the team's looking at it now is they just need to get Jalen Mills healthy and we'll figure it out from there.
Yeah. So, Zach, usually when you're looking at preseason football and trying to project ahead to the season, usually things don't go – this is the NFL. Usually a lot of things don't go as planned. If you had to take one guy from the team that you think is going to exceed expectations this year and one guy that maybe takes a step back this year, who would you put in those?
That's a really good question. I would go with – I think Malik Jackson's going to be a really good player on this team. And, there's been so much attention to DeSean Jackson as the big offseason pickup.
You think we got the wrong Jackson?
Yeah. I mean, I think Malik Jackson was the premier acquisition the Eagles made this offseason. They haven't had a defensive tackle who can pass rush like him next to Fletcher Cox since Cox has been here. They've moved defensive ends inside and you've seen that be effective, but it's going to fundamentally change the way they approach the defensive line because they're going to keep their ends as ends and they're going to have Malik Jackson rushing the quarterback. And I think he's going to be a difference maker on the interior. So I would say Malik Jackson should be getting more attention. And then the player who I guess could, so this might be, I hope this isn't a controversial take.
Oh, I like it, Zach.
There's a lot of hype around Dallas Goedert, and I think Dallas Goedert is a really good player that's going to have a big role on the team. I would say kind of cool down on Dallas Goedert being like a top tight end this year.
Is that because of his role?
A little bit of his role, but they're still going to play Nelson Agholor. They're still going to play Alshon Jeffery. They're still going to play DeSean Jackson. So he's not, and they're not going to take Zach Ertz off the field. I mean, Zach Ertz is an elite player. So I think Dallas Goedert's going to play more than he did last year. Two tight end is going to be a big part of this offense, and there's going to be times when Ertz is going to be in the slot. That being said, I don't think Dallas Goedert's going to be like a top five tight end this year, top 10 tight end this year in terms of production. Because I just think that You know, there's only so many snaps to go around. I don't think they're going to run an empty backfield that often. So you're either looking at two receivers and two tight ends or three receivers and one tight end. And I just don't see where the playing time is going to be there for Goddard unless Ertz gets hurt to have the type of season that I think some Eagles fans are expecting him to have.
Zach, Jordan Mailata and Andre Dillard got a lot of snaps the other night, especially Mailata. And just what's the word down there on the reaction to how they did? We might have to see them a little bit more than we anticipated. But what's the word down there on their performance from Thursday?
Yeah, Mailata, there was some good, some bad. I mean, certainly looked promising, but I don't think he's ready to be a contributor on game days yet. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that's a role they see for him yet either. Andre Dillard, I thought he played well, and I think they thought he played well too. Really coming along as a run blocker. A lot of optimism about Dillard. If Jason Peters wasn't on your roster, I think they'd be comfortable going in with Dillard as a starter. But you know, they'll keep Dillard as a backup. But my guess is if Peters goes down at some point this year, you'll see Dillard step in as the in-game starter. He might not be active on game day because they could have a swing tackle like Alapulavati Vaitai. But I think if Peters is down for, say, 3-4 weeks, you see Dillard step in as the starter.
Yeah, so, Zach, obviously, we know what week four of the preseason is. Nobody's going to even see the field, probably not even dress. We got weeks two and weeks three ahead of us here. Obviously, Carson Wentz removed from the discussion. Are we going to see some starters? Like, are we going to see Alshon and Deshaun and Ertz? Are we going to see these guys? Or what's your kind of prediction for what we're going to see here the next 2 weeks?
Yeah, I don't think you'll see them this week against Jacksonville. I would say there's an outside shot of a series or two against Baltimore, but if I had to bet on it, I would say no. Mm-hmm. My guess is that the top players who are not new to the team are going to be shelved during the preseason, and you'll see them for the first time week one. I'm not stating that. I'm not reporting that. I don't know
fact,
but
just your gut.
But the sense I'm getting is that you're not going to see these guys until September 8th.
All right, Zach. We'll appreciate the updates. Hopefully you'll have some starters in a preseason game. That's what I'm hoping for at some point. But we'll see how it plays out. We'll keep reading you in The Athletic, and we appreciate you joining us today.
Anytime. Thanks, guys.
All right, thanks, Zach. All right, so Zach's on board that probably nobody this week.
Yeah?
Yeah, I don't think you're going to see anything.
Yeah.
No. Nah.
Well, you're going to get the chance to see Dillard, see how he continues to progress, see what Josh Sweat is going to be able to give you. Now you're going to start seeing
your
guys.
Your boy Josh Sweat's got to step up because Deshaun Hall has a little injury. He might not play this week, and I think he had kind of jumped over him. So if you're Sweat and you're looking in the mirror, you go, all right, weeks two and three are my time to shine.
Yeah, this is it.
I got to go win a job right now.
Exactly. Trey, did you get a chance to see a lot of him when you were watching the games over and over again?
Yeah, he was just sticking on to the bull rush a little too much.
See, to me, he didn't get...
In fairness, he had Taylor Lewan guarding him for the first little portion, and he's a Pro Bowl tackle. So,
yeah.
You know, it's not like he was up against some scrub.
No. To me, just watching a little bit, it seemed like he didn't... He got blocked, and it wasn't like, all right, let me fight through this and try some. It just seemed like, all right, I'm blocked on this play. And kind of like, all right, I'm out on this play. There didn't seem to be that extra oomph to me. I don't know. What did you see?
Yeah, too many times he was sticking out to the bull rush. A lot of times you see some of these young ends, they try to hang into the bull rush a little too much. To me, a bull rush is just a butt. You want that tackle to sit, and then after that, you have a plan B. So it should always be bull rush, then transition to something else. Bull rush, spin. Bull rush, take the edge.
So bull is your baseline.
Yeah, bull rush is a baseline. It's not something that you should try to hang on to unless you just straight up just run through the guy.
Right.
Yeah. It should always be a butt and go. It should be something that you...
A
bull with a rip. Something to kind of transition because all you want out of a bull rush is to get that offensive tackle to sit, and then you should come with something else. And preferably, I would like for them to, like, if you're going to butt, make it come quick. Give them a quick bull, boom, and then transition to take edge because now once you feel him hit, then now if you take edge and you get low, then now he has to let you go.
Yeah.
You know, so it should always be something
behind
it. Would you
know, like, right away if a guy got you on your heels, you were in trouble?
Yeah,
it's over pretty much if you're on your heels, or can you recover from that?
You can recover from it depending on what he's trying to do. But that's what I'm saying. When you have a young DN like that, if they're just trying to run down the middle of you, that's perfect for an offensive tackle. A slow death is a good death. You sit there, hop, 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 and the ball is gone. But for what I'm trying to say is that if you can give him that butt and then take the edge and give him something different, then now you have to butt and then now you have to redirect what you're trying to do. So I just felt like he was trying to hang on to the bull rush a little too much.
So let's go opposite side. Let's go Andre Dillard and break them down. We did it earlier, but for the people that weren't listening then, Andre Dillard, Jordan Mailata got a lot of snaps this weekend. First of all, we'll start with the first round pick. What did you see out of Andre Dillard? Seemed very smooth, is what everybody's saying.
Extremely smooth out of his set. Didn't have any wasted steps. Played with good balance, used his hands really well, took on the bull rush. And a lot of times, a lot of people would say, well, you know what, he was right there on the quarterback. Well, that's the weakness of a vertical set, is the bull rush. So you're going to be right there sometimes. I feel like sometimes he can get a little firmer at times, but I think that he did a really good job of staying with his guy. He locked down. I mean, he clamped on, and he didn't get out of balance, which was good. You didn't see him, getting tossed or anything. So he kind of sat down on the guys really good. But I think he's just going to continue to progress. I thought he did a really good job of run blocking, being able to get out there, zone blocks that were coming his way where he was the lead guy getting out there.
And he's coming from a pass-happy college system.
Yeah.
So for him to show good run blocking like that early on, that's very encouraging.
Yeah, he did a really good job, especially if it were on the backside of it as well. When he had to collapse down the three technique, I think he did a really good job with that. I think when you look at Jordan Mailata, I thought that what you could tell is that he really worked on anticipating the snap count. He wasn't late off the ball. I thought he did a good job of getting in front of his guys. The only thing I say about Jordan is that he can't get in the habit of just punching his guy one time and feeling like that's good enough, because you'll have guys that are circle around and come back and can get the sack. Mm-hmm. So you need to be mindful of that. Don't just try to punch him by and just feel like, all right, my job is done. No, you need to actually finish it.
Zach just said he doesn't think that Jordan Mailata is ready to step in. Did you see that also?
Yeah, no, he's not ready for that yet.
Okay.
I mean, but now, this is only 2 years of football.
No, I hear you.
And they switched sides on him, which you said
totally
is like
new position.
A whole new language.
Yeah.
And how about Andre Dillard? Would you feel comfortable if he has to step in for Jason Peters that he's ready to go?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, based off this game here, I feel like, you know what? Yeah, I would like to see him up against some other competition just to see what other rushers are out there.
Uh-huh.
Guys that aren't going to bull you the entire time. But, you know, we'll see.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, that's where we are with the Eagles. We'll see. But in many cases, no, we won't. Not until the regular season opener.
Luckily, still enough to look at here with this team. On You know what I mean? Like Zach Brown's and your Josh Sweats and your Mailata's and all these, and Matt Pryor. Can he bounce back from a horrible game one?
Yeah.
You know, like, there's still plenty to watch.
Yeah.
And the same with Matt Pryor is that I appreciate what he was trying to do. He was really trying to work the punch, but he was too extended. There's a thing of being too extended with your arms. Yeah, then now you're off balance if they give you a little move or anything. So you felt like, you know, he was a little too extended with his punch instead of it. Because all your punches, it's just a 6-inch punch.
Mm-hmm.
It's not trying to reach all the way through him. It's just a quick 6-inch stab, and you want to kind of still be right in there. You don't want to be too extended.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
6-inch jab. That my dad used to always tell a story about Joe Lewis. He was taught the box. When he threw 6-inch punches, like at a guy's face or whatever, he punched 12 inches. So he knew to go through the guy's face. It was like, the guy's only 6 inches in front of me, but I'm throwing it 12 inches because I'm going right through his face.
Yeah.
You know, my dad always taught me about that. All right, we've got to tell you about the Fanatic deal of the week. For a limited time only, get a dinner for two to Chima Brazilian Steakhouse for only $57. Enjoy the fresh gourmet salad bar and two Rodizio dinners, which includes Gaucho service, available now through Sunday or while supplies last. Check it out now at 975thefanatic.com. Keyword deal. Adam in Germantown, you're on 975 The Fanatic. What's up, Adam?
Hey, what's up, you guys?
How you doing?
All right. Quickly about the Eagles, and just one quick thing about the Sixers. I was going to say the Eagles, I think they're fine doing what they're doing with Sunvold. Broken left wrist. I don't think they have any need to go out and get any backup quarterback, especially not Colin Kaepernick. And I think they're handling it just the way they should.
I think they're going to need an arm for the rest of camp, regardless if it's a true number two or not. They're just going to need a body in there, somebody that can throw the ball, because you don't want to overwork. I know, as stupid as it sounds, you don't want to overwork Carson Wentz and and Kessler, but like you just physically are going to need another body in there.
Okay, so I guess you're right. They'll probably get somebody.
Yeah, somebody. It's probably not going to be very exciting.
Right. The only thing I wanted to bring up, the rumors are flying behind closed doors. Markelle Fultz is tearing it up. Now, the only thing
What doors are they that you're saying, Adam?
All right.
Orlando Magic message boards?
No, I'm just saying. Now, Caron Butler went on NBA TV and said he will be in training camp and he will start over DJ Augustine.
Well, they shared an agent, so I would imagine that information is accurate.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, the only thing I'm saying is, if he were to come out and again play well and obviously reduce the pressure on himself because he's considered a bust now, no longer the number one pick superstar. Would you end up on air blaming Elton Brand for letting go of him?
No.
Unfortunately. Adam, I have to ask you, what is your...
Do you have fear that he's going to be that good?
No, why do you want to talk about Markelle Fultz so bad?
The video came out last week of him shooting. Maybe it's from that.
Well, no, it's actually that I don't feel they'll ever win a championship with Ben Simmons. And giving away Markelle Fultz was fine with me. It's just they almost got nothing in return.
They got less than nothing. Jonathan Simmons was just playing on the overseas elite squad in the basketball tournament.
They were just lucky to get rid of him that somebody gave him something. I don't. Adam, do you have FanFest tickets?
Say it again?
Do you have tickets to FanFest?
No, I don't.
Would you like them?
Yeah, please.
All right.
Good thing he didn't turn you down, Bob. You would have.
It sounded like he didn't.
So, Jonathan's,
I don't have him, and I really don't care that I don't have him.
You know,
Adam's been sitting all morning on Markelle Fultz.
You know, the basketball tournament, that $1 million thing where a lot of former college guys all go for. Uh-huh. Jonathan Simmons ended up playing on the overseas elite team this year. The overseas elite team had won the tournament 4 years in a row. Jonathan Simmons got on the team and they lost. I mean, that. Unfortunately, even if Markelle Fultz prospers down in Orlando, and I did not think we would be getting a Markelle Fultz call in August.
Nah, a little surprised at that.
But even if he prospers down there, it was still the right decision.
Yeah. Well, absolutely it was. There was no way he could come back here after what had gone on.
He had to remove the cloud, and not to mention the $9 million you needed this year.
And look, whatever was ailing him, it wasn't getting fixed here.
No.
Yeah.
And I don't blame anybody. I said it before, there's assistant coaches on that bench that had never had to deal with something like that before. So to have them try to fix that problem, you know, that's a little tough. So no, what happened with him, fine with me. I have no problems with it. So welcome back. Talk some more Eagles, Phillies if you like. Time here at the Fanatic 923.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning. The Fanatic.
Farzetta and Trey Show. Bob Cooney in for Mark Farzetta today. New daddy.
Yeah. They got home from the hospital yesterday. So
we should text him, see if he's up. Because Farzetta does this.
Last night was their first night alone.
Toots. I don't do this, and I do. I tell her to get me my scotch or whatever he drinks.
He does say those things. I just don't think she takes him seriously.
I don't think so. I don't think. And I know
for a fact she doesn't. But he does say those things.
But he had never changed a diaper in his life.
Yeah.
Farzetta, if you're listening, give us a call. I want to know if you've changed diaper yet.
Yeah, and it's those black tarry ones in the beginning.
So gross. it's almost like when the human body was made, whoever's in charge of this said, you know what, we're going to make the first ones the worst ones. Because that it gets better, but...
Well, so that's what I was with a buddy of mine yesterday, Dave Madden, and I had the conversation.
He's
like,
a buddy of ours.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
Cameron Catholic's finest. That's right. I was like, do the juices get worse as they become more adult like? And he was kind of like, him or somebody else was telling me, actually, it's worse in the beginning. And I was like, well, I didn't think that was that bad, so maybe I'm all
right. Yeah, maybe you're good.
Because I have a really bad gag reflex with smells.
You did it at my house. Yeah. Well, you had Skylar at my house, and it got it on your hand.
It was all over my hand.
And you were like, oh. Jenna and I were laughing our butts off, because Jenna hates you anyway.
Yeah,
so.
Mortal enemy, Jenna.
Well, I mean, you beat her up on a basketball
court.
Maybe
I should go over to her soccer practice today and run out there like Terry Tate.
Yeah, I wonder how she's done now. She had 7:30 to 9:30.
Yeah.
They start 2-a-days next week.
I should show her how it's done. Get out on that field and bully her around a little.
Yeah, I'm going to show her the video of you on the lacrosse field and how fun that was. Warren from Cherry Hill, you're on 97.5, The Fanatic.
Good morning, all.
Hey, Don Warren.
Everything is wonderful. I'm just looking for football to start, basketball to start, and I'm looking for us to get a major league team, baseball team in Philadelphia. That's all.
The fall is going to be fun, though, Warren.
Yeah. Here's what I can tell you. Listen, we've done this long enough to where you have an idea. It's not like you remember what I say, but I repeat it so often. As long as you've said it, I'm going to ask you something. When Hoskins and Harper go to the plate, mm-hmm. I'm going to give you two scenarios they should be looking for. You tell me which is the better one. Should they go up there in the first pitch going, I'm going to work this guy. I'm going to see what he's got. I'm going to take his. I'm going to work, get as many pitches as I can. Or is his job to sit there and go, I'm sitting first pitch fastball. Mm-hmm. If this guy throws me a lollipop, I'm crushing it. That's what he should be thinking.
That's what I want.
There is no reason for him to even say he's going to put Harper leading up. I got to be honest with you. I just know the final score yesterday. I do not know what happened. I refuse to give him a second of my time anymore. My time's too valuable to watch his garbage, especially when you got a team that was the second year in a row. It's not a maybe. This team, it's easy to say quit. Trey knows that. Trey's played. It's a very fine line between giving your best and giving 98% in sports. And they're not giving it their all. They've got a manager who won't call them on the carpet. They're taking the dumbest things they're doing to try to fix it. You let go. You put Franco down.
That makes no sense to me.
Yeah. You can't put a guy who's your best defender on a field off the field when the rest of the guys can't feel for nothing.
Yeah, when you have Sean Rodriguez and Brad Miller, you can't justify to me.
Sean Rodriguez, come on, that man should not be on the
Apparently, he's one of Gabe's guys, though.
Then Gabe's got to go.
That's fine.
2 years in a row. I've said this. Let me ask something, and I'll say it again. It's the Ruben Amaro effect. You give me a checkbook with unlimited resources, and I'll do a better job. All they do is they write a check. That doesn't make them a good baseball man. I think they've shown us in the last – I think Kapler showed us now twice in a row. You cannot have two death spins like they're doing right now.
No.
Yeah, especially – thanks, Warren. Especially when they just totally decided to overlook the pitching.
And So this dates back to – like, I think the front office has been straight-up negligent and ignorant of their own shortcomings. Last year, you had a chance to get Cole Hamels for next to nothing. If you're entering the season with Nola and Hamels and Arrieta, you're going, all right, I know what three-fifths of my rotation is. Started there. Then Marcus Stroman goes for a bag of balls. Dallas Keuchel's out there for nothing but money.
Yeah.
And Jason brought it up earlier. Somebody tweeted me this, and forgive me, I don't have your handle in front of me. I forget who it was. But they said basically Jason alluded to them knowing Arrieta was banged up back in June 1st.
And they still didn't do anything.
They were a half game out of they had a half game lead on the division at that point still. They were still hanging on. You knew your number two had bone spurs or something seriously wrong in his elbow. You knew the rest of your rotation at that point was pretty much crap.
Yeah.
And what did you do?
Nothing.
Nothing.
Why? Why? Why?
I don't know. It's a cowardly way to run a team.
Unless they have some big offseason plans this year.
You could have realistically had Aaron Nola, Cole Hamels, Marcus Stroman, and or Dallas Keuchel in this rotation this year. Easily. Without giving up Sixto Sanchez's and Spencer Howard's. Those were like bare minimum moves that could have been done that would have made you an actual contender. Instead, you sat there and you twiddled your thumbs and did nothing.
Yeah, I said.
And you've known since June 1st about Arrieta?
Yeah, I said at the beginning of the year that, okay, you can do everything that they did this offseason and not say this is the year you're going to win. You signed Bryce Harper to 13 years. That doesn't mean you expect to win, I don't think, the World Series, or you're expected to expect to win the World Series in year one. I like what they did with the offense, with Segura, Realmuto, with Harper, obviously. But then I thought, okay, so maybe they got all the offense this year and they're going to go after the pitching – during this offseason. But they had a chance to get pitching during the season and decided not to.
The word around baseball is people were outraged at how little of a package it went for.
Yeah.
And you could have had him in next year's rotation already. Forget this year. If you're building towards next year, you need, what, three pitchers? Not to mention the bullpen. So now you're relying solely on free agency to get three pitchers.
Yeah, because...
Good luck.
Yeah, I mean...
That's why you needed to address it this year at the trade deadline. And that front office has really just kind of peed on my campfire.
Arrieta has next year remaining on the contract, right?
Yes.
Yeah,
I believe $20
million. They're going to go... If I was a betting guy, I would say they're having the meeting tomorrow from what he said.
He's going to be shut down.
I think he's shut down for the rest of the year.
So what does that leave you with? Jason Vargas as your number two?
Yeah, Drew Smyly, number three. Yeah,
Drew Smyly will be your number three.
Yeah, and then Vinny Velasquez, and then what are you doing? Cole
Pavetta's, Pavetta's? I can't.
Well, Pavetta, now they...
Cole Irvin can't, no. But look at where we're at!
Yeah.
They're two games out of a wild
They're
card.
They're only two games out.
And we're discussing
you said it
Drew
earlier.
Smyly as a number three.
You said it earlier that you're done with them. And,
I mean,
Trey
I watch.
Looked at, no, and Trey said, no, 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 come on. It's only two games out. They could have built up to get two games out and you'd be pumped. The Mets are a game out and they're on a streak
where
they have everybody going
crazy. They went
crazy.
Out and got Panic, they went out and got, they got Stroman.
Yeah,
they went out and got pitching.
And they had DeGrom and Syndergaard. I don't understand what they were thinking with this pitching. I didn't understand it going in.
They squandered this year so bad.
Well, you know, the fact that they put blind faith in Zach Eflin, Nick Pivetta, and Vinny Velasquez, along with 33-year-old Jake Arrieta, who struggled mightily in the second half of last season.
They all did.
Yeah, they all did. No question about it.
Nola struggled in August and September last year.
I don't know why they didn't go after arms.
Now, it's not about this year. You're right. Like, Is anybody beating the Astros or Dodgers or throw the Yankees in maybe?
Oh, God, the Astros. No, now. My God.
No.
They are
you weren't.
So good.
But it was about getting better next year, this year. And that's what you have to do. That's what a good GM does.
Yeah, you
because
have.
Because
you
can't
there.
Rely on free agency.
Right.
And you got, I like Spencer Howard. Am I hanging my hat that Spencer Howard is going to right the ship?
No,
absolutely damn not.
I'll take someone that's been in the league and proven before I'm looking at prospects every day of the week.
Yeah, I just think the job they did was so poor this year after the offseason that I'm like speechless by it.
Yeah.
Because you could have helped this club dramatically with some very basic moves.
And it wasn't like you could have helped them and then maybe they could have made a push. They were there.
Yeah.
They were the leaders.
If you knew June 1st with a lead in the division that Jake Arrieta was not right, and had potentially this type of problem, and you did nothing still, that tells me a lot about their mindset.
You know what it was? They played them too much in training camp. That's what it was. Spring training, they played too much, therefore they got hurt during the season, and that's what happened. Because that's what the Phillies are going to, or the Eagles are going to do. They're going to shut everybody down. We don't know it officially, but it certainly seems to be what they're going to do. We're not going to see Carson Wentz.
That was not normal grunting last night from Jake Arrieta.
No, that was.
That was, I'm in severe pain, and I'm trying my best not to let the world know, but I can't help it.
I mean, and people were tweeting us saying, oh, it's just, ESPN has extra.
I've been down in good seats for Arrieta starts. I've never heard that before.
That was outrageous.
That was
different. I assume you could hear. Yeah, so.
Farsetta and Trey in the morning. .75 The Fanatic.
Morning show, Farzetta and Trey. No Farzetta, just Trey Thomas. Bob Cooney here. Jamie Lynch. Tyler Zuli. Ty, can you make 10 more minutes?
Yeah, I think we can.
You got it in
you?
Yeah,
we're good.
All right, good man. Tyler doing yeoman's work today. Scott from Barrington, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Scott, what's going on?
Brother Cooney, what's going on?
How you feeling?
Good. Gentlemen of the jury, what's happening back there?
What's up?
Man, look. I don't even know where to start with the Phillies. Where do I? As soon as A-Rod came out, I'm like, you know what? I'm done. I had to turn the TV off. Because I knew I can't go. This is my girlfriend's TV. I said, you know what? It's time to go. I went outside. I took a walk. I actually had to take a walk. Number two, what you guys are hitting on, I kind of knew it was over. They didn't care. When Clinton came out about maybe a month ago, he was talking about, well, you know, if we win, if we don't, we just, you know, he got on that. I'm like, dude, like, come on, shit, you're still in it. But that's when I knew he was doing it in the white towel. Number three, trust me, I like the Harper signing, but when they signed him, I'm like, you know what? That's going to be their cover-up because, you know, if they've made their money. Trust me, they made it back in all the jersey selling things. So that's when I also saw the writing was on the wall. But when A-Rod said that last night, I'm done. I will not buy any more gear. I'll go watch here and there, lay from tickets, get a free ticket. But most of the time I walk around, my girlfriend ain't listening, but I check the babes out. But I'm just done, man. I'm just done, man. And again, I knew that when he was that nonchalant, you know, comment, Klintak, supposed to be in charge of it. Well, you know, if we went, if it don't mean, we don't. So that's an Arrieta thing. Should have been shut down. I commend him, but you could just tell. And then they're not making the Mets went and got Stroman. And yeah, they were way behind us, but look what they're doing now. So I'm just disgusted, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Let's go, Eagles.
Peace. All right. Thanks, Scott. Birds. Much appreciated, buddy.
Andrew Salchunas just, I don't understand him. He's a weird dude.
He's one of the weirdest.
Like, I just went in there and he said, how do you think brushing your teeth in the shower is weird? I'm like, where do you put your toothbrush after you brush your teeth? He goes, oh, I have a spot where I put. I said, okay, but you're still washing your dirty body. And thing, as Trey pointed out last week, things can fly.
Things can fly.
Things mildew. Can fly.
Wait,
mildew.
Does he keep it in there?
Yeah. No, he says he takes it out, but the damage is already done. You can't take your toothbrush into the shower with you. Oh, he's mad. He's not happy. Ah, never mind. Yeah, whatever. Don't jump on with us.
What?
We know you're a midday guy.
I didn't hear you.
So you still, if you keep your toothbrush in the shower with you after brushing your teeth, that's subjecting it to various dirty parts of your body.
No, you know how there's the ledges coming off the wall?
Yeah.
I have a separate ledge far away from where any of the water or my soap is splattering.
I disagree.
Where I put
your shower is not that big that it's so far away.
Oh, it's a huge shower.
Get out of here.
Oh, man, I work
soap
middays
flies
at the
everywhere.
Fanatic.
Soap flies everywhere.
Yeah,
it's
nah.
Gross.
Yeah, I just.
I heard
so,
you
so
talking about my cold food, too, huh? You dropped idiot on me, huh?
Did I drop idiot? I apologize. Did. I didn't mean idiot.
Yeah, you did. That was mean.
Yeah, I didn't
I'll
mean
take
that.
Psycho, as Jamie said.
Yeah, psycho's not bad.
He's definitely got bodies
I'm
buried
okay
in
with that.
Cold, you don't like hot food.
I'll eat the food hot,
you
but I prefer
loved,
cold.
All right, here it is. You went to a baseball game and had 11 hot dogs this year.
Yes.
Were they? Did you wait for them to cool
no,
down?
No, I ate those.
Oh, okay.
Normal
you wouldn't eat a cold hot dog, would you?
I've had a hot dog out of the fridge before, like cooked.
Just cold.
Yeah.
When I was little, I used to get raw hot dogs and eat them like right out of the pack, out of the refrigerator.
I did
know
that
why.
Before. My mom yelled at me, told me never to do that again.
Yeah, bologna
you know
and peanut
the,
butter.
The most disturbing thing, which tells me he is in fact a serial killer, he enjoys cold French fries.
Yeah, that's not good.
I mean, there's certain things you can't eat cold.
Cold fries are disgusting.
French fries don't even go good heated up.
No. You have to eat them at the point.
I like a heated up French fry.
Oh, no. Because what do you heat it up in? The microwave?
Yes.
No, and then they come
you
out
you have to go
soggy.
Toaster oven.
Then it
if
tastes
anything.
Like microwave.
Yeah.
That's just gross.
Yeah.
You guys bite your ice cream?
Not more of a licker. There's a drop.
I chew on my ice cream.
You chew your ice cream.
Yeah, and then I don't spit it out like Gabe.
Chew it?
Yeah.
Like you take like a bite like you would an apple?
Yeah.
Well, how hard is the ice cream you're eating?
Sometimes I do it with soft serve.
He is a weird dude. Trey is baffled by your
Trey,
your
you want to hang out later?
No, I'm good.
All right, Salchunas, we're done with you. Where's the morning show? They're out in
NBA,
Orlando, huh?
The NBA experience down at Disney World.
Ah, how cool is
sounds
that?
Sounds like fun.
Well, yeah, you can't beat that.
I saw pictures of Jason the Cuz and Eric Camille last night on our social media account.
Camille had a glass of wine in his hand. Look fun. Well, speaking of fun, you know why Fridays are fun? Because on Fridays we do the big sexy story. That's right. Brought to you by Delilah's Gentleman's Club and Steakhouse. Always on top. And also on Fridays... Yeah, that's right. Tool of the Week brought to you by Howlett's True Value and Garden Center. All plants, trees, and shrubs are now buy one, get one free at Howlett's. That time of the day, boys, for our takeaway of the day. And Tyler, if you are not too tired, do you have a takeaway of the day for us? I think I caught him off guard.
You know what's funny? I was actually looking for Jamie's sound, and then he played it for me. My takeaway of the day is the fact that Jake Arrieta still needs the pitch. regardless of the bone spurs, because the options after that, not good. Not good at all.
Yeah. But no, I can't have him going back out there and going three innings of grunt-filled baseball.
Yeah, I can't take the grunts anymore.
No, yeah, I'm sorry, Tyler. I'd rather have
Cole Irvin
up here.
I don't know if I can move Eflin back to the rotation.
I don't care. I can't have him out there.
So bad. Yeah. All the options are bad.
Yeah, that's true. Jamie, what's your takeaway today?
My takeaway of the day is if you eat cold French fries, you're a disturbing individual.
Well, yeah. All right. Trey, what do you got?
Oh, man, my takeaway of the day is, hey, welcome to the new era of football. No starters. You're in preseason. Get excited.
All right, I got two. One, I'm glad that Tristan is doing well with his injured hand. That's awesome. Quick recovery to him. Surgery on Wednesday. But my other, and this is setting up tomorrow's show. At 3 o'clock today, the NBA schedule comes out.
Oh,
so
yeah,
we
baby.
Will do W&Ls for all 82 Sixers game this time
72
tomorrow.
72-10. I'm calling it right now.
Well, my son Kyle and I were talking yesterday. I think they'll probably be the 3:30 Christmas Day game because you have two East Coast and three West
and
Coast games.
The Bucks
games.
Are coming here. That already
you got the
leaked.
Bucks coming here, and the other East Coast game is Toronto and Boston.
Mm.
So I'm thinking Toronto, Boston, 12:30, Sixers 3:30 game on Christmas Day. That's perfect time.
Yeah, I think they're going to win 60 games this year. I honestly do.
Oh, 60 without a
58
doubt.
58 to 60 is my expectation.
And we'll go through each and every one tomorrow. Win, loss.
How nice is that
win,
to say?
Loss. I used to love when the NBA schedule came out because then I could plan all my travel.
Yeah.
And it was, that was fun. All right. Well, thanks for joining us today. Time at the Fanatic. Coming up next, Gargano and Mertidis from Orlando. Time at the Fanatic, 9:54.